Blog Talk Radio.
There's a gift, there's a light in your heart. You just can't contain it. When we all play our part around the world, it's just so amazing.
Criticize or engage in change. Let's choose to engage and change the world one step at a time here on Peace Talks on Now Kind Radio.
Good afternoon. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams. I want to thank Makua Ray, our producer today. And Makua, looking forward to another great show. a few months ago, or maybe just a couple of months, you know, out here on the trail while we're walking from city to city and engaging with communities, it's often difficult to remember our timeline. But on Marcus Garvey Day, we had the honor of being in Harlem with Queen Mother, Dr. Lois Blakely, and all of the Garveyites who were gathered there. And we met a remarkable elder, and I must say really, really deeply touched me because of the powerful message that he was bringing forward. And that is none other than Reverend Dr. Albert Sampson of the Fernwood United Methodist Church of Chicago, who started an incredible program, and it's called FARM, FARM. And so we're going to be talking with Dr. Albert Sampson today and hearing his vision about how we get the food from the South to communities in the North and all over. And the reason that I'm so passionate about this opportunity, because as we walk from area to area, especially in our urban areas, not just in the South, though, all over and on different reservations, the quality of food that's available for the poor in our communities is almost frightening. I mean, it literally is almost frightening. So anytime I hear of Reverend Dr. Albert Sampson's program, a church that has a Department of Peace, welcome, Reverend Dr. Albert Sampson. Welcome to Peace Talks with Audrey Scott Williams. How are you today?
Oh, fantastic, and I want to say thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity to talk to your listening audience. It's a great moment in time for us to be in this time at dealing with something that our ancestors prepared for us, but in the last 40 years, black leadership has not been listening, from my perspective, to the heartbeat of our ancestors. Yes, I am the only preacher in black America that has a Department of Agriculture in my church. I simply one Sunday morning came down from the pulpit and started asking my folk, what part of the country are you from? And they started testifying, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, North Carolina. And as they were going through the congregation, I knew that this was the moment in time for us to create within our church a Department of Agriculture. Since then, I have a website that's now my nonprofit corporation called George Washington Carver Farms .com. George Washington Carver Farms .com. Several years ago, I was down in Florida at Florida A&M talking to several hundred black farmers and found out that one of them was a student of George Washington Carver at Tuskegee, Alabama. And I asked him if he knew how to get in touch with George Washington Carver's relatives. He said, "That'll never happen, Reverend, because George Washington Carver got castrated." He told me to go to Tuskegee and listen to the record, the phonograph of George Washington Carver's high-pitched voice. It was right then and there that I decided that I would bring George Washington Carver home to the black community. And so everywhere I go now, we're wrapping our people up, our churches and community organizations, in the name of George Washington Carver Farms.com. Farms means Farmers Agricultural Resource Management Systems. We're producing a marriage, Sister Williams, between the black farmer down south and the black consumer up south. It's a simple marriage based on a trade agreement. The black farmer says, "I can grow the seeds." The black truck driver says, I can carry the fruit from the seeds and the vegetables from the seeds. And only thing we're challenging black churches to do is open the doors of the church." That's a very familiar phrase in the black church historically, that the doors of the church are open. People can come, but now we have an opportunity economically, based on this marriage, to allow the vegetables to come, the crowded peas, butter beans, and Purple House. While Walmart is selling our people seedless watermelons, I got farmers out of Arkansas that are growing and bringing to us in Chicago whole watermelons with a whole lot of seeds in them, diamond and crimson watermelons. And our people have to really understand the difference between genetically modified food and the food of our ancestors. One of the mistakes our people made when we did the migratory pattern of leaving the South and coming up South is that we should have made a vow. We should have made a pledge. We should have introduced ourselves into a marriage that says, even though I went from down South, up South, I still want my soul food vegetables as my menu. We're the only people in America, where we don't have a wholesale retail distribution center. There are 670-plus black mayors in black America. And I worked with Dr. Martin Luther King, and I was his project director for Carl Stokes' campaign in Cleveland, Ohio, which was the first black mayor. And then Richard Hatcher came out of Gary as the second one. And then Ken Gibson out of Newark, New Jersey, where Dr. King had pledged 48 hours before his assassination to Imamu Baraka, that time Leroy Jones, that he would come back, do a voter registration drive to have Ken Gibson to be the third black mayor in black America. Today, we have 670 black mayors in black America. Not one of them has a wholesale retail distribution center on behalf of black farmers. Not one civil rights organization has a Department of Agriculture, that whether it's SCLC, Operation Push, National Action Network, the Urban League, and I believe I said the NAACP. Nobody has a Department of Agriculture producing the marriage between the black farmers down South and the black consumer up South. So that's phase one. Phase two, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying phase two is that our people, under Pavlov's dog, we're trained to go to these franchises based on taste, but we have no knowledge of nutrition. So we get iceberg lettuce in the black community where other folk are eating romaine lettuce, which has more nutrient value. School teachers in schools and in the Sunday school have not taught our folk that the sweet potato or the yam comes from Africa, and we don't know the nutrient value of the sweet potato over against the white potato. So what we're doing now is working with culinary high schools to talk about what shall we eat. There is a food desert report that says grocery stores are too far away and the food we eat is causing the diseases that we have. As a pastor of a church, I've seen my folk come in healthy and now they are on dialysis. And basically, not only dialysis, but high blood pressure, a whole cabinet full of different pills. Well, the rationale behind that is that we don't know what we're eating, and we don't know the ingredients that we're eating, and how much of the food that we eat is genetically modified. So we have a team of people now that are working with us, a sister named Dorothy Campbell, where she does a program called Healing from the Ground. And what she basically says is that the body needs certain nutrients based on vegetables and fruits. And if there is a dis-ease in the body, it's because of the deficiency of the particular fruits and vegetables that the body is hungry for. So we're now moving around the country. We got some folk on the East Coast, as well as you know, as well as folk here in the Midwest, to be able to do 4 or 5 key things. One, we're trying to find a building. Two, we're also want a building, one on the East Coast, one in the Midwest, a cooling house down south, so that black farmers can have one place that they can bring vegetables to, a revolving market fund, so you pay the farmer, pay the trucker, and let the marketplace repay the fund.
Mm-hmm. So when you say a building,
go on. I'm sorry.
When you say that you a building in the East and of course the Midwest and the West, you're talking about a warehouse. Is that correct?
That's correct. What the building in the South is what we call a cooling house. When the vegetables are in the ground, as you know, they produce heat. When they come out of the ground, we want a particular place where black farmers can bring their vegetables. Most black farmers now, historically, have only traveled 100 miles, not only after they grow the food, they have to truck it to a marketplace that's just a universal market, no coordinated kind of market, for probably about 50 to 100 miles. And that's a lot of burden, when the fact of the matter is we're working with some communities around the country to create a cooling house where they can bring it to one central place, have the inspection to make sure there's some good apples in the barrel, and then pay them out of the revolving market fund, and then bring the produce to the marketplace. We are the only people in America that does not have a wholesale retail distribution center. And for the last 33 out of the 36 years I've been at my church, I've been moving through black colleges that are mandated by law to work with black farmers. Just the other day, I flew into Baltimore because I was ordained by Dr. King. I went to the Martin King Memorial dedication. But I got in on a Friday, but that Saturday morning, I met with some folk that are in what they call the heirloom seed business. And these are the people that, you know, when seeds first started, you know. And I got farmers down in Mississippi that are paying $25 a pound for crowder peas, but these heirloom folk can sell me the seeds for $7 a pound. And so now I'm in touch with some black agricultural schools to create a seed bank. Once again, we're the only people in America, as Africans in America, that do not have a seed bank. So as a result, we have no knowledge about who's feeding us and what they're feeding us and what's the scientific ingredients breaking down of what we're getting. I mean, I really believe Walmart might have one day the ability to tell the truth of why you want to feed people a seedless watermelon. What if the guy who created these seedless watermelons, what if he's mad with his wife? Maybe he don't like black folk. We sitting up eating watermelons with no seeds, and our ancestors, all the way from Africa, are able to get the diamond and the crimson watermelons where we already know that it's nutritional. Shaq O'Neal, with that big foot he got, it ain't based on him eating Taco Bells. It ain't based on him eating dead food. It's based on the fact that he had crowder peas, butter beans, and purple hulls built into his DNA.
Yes, that's right. I know that one of the things we had a gentleman, Ron Ellis, on the show last week. And he's into biodynamic farming.
Sure.
And talked a lot about the implications of the GMO and processed foods on our bodies and the contribution to a lot of the diseases, as you've mentioned, and even such diseases as autoimmune deficiencies and so forth.
Right.
And the whole need now, he talked about the heirloom seeds as well. And so one of the things that I'm hearing in your presentation that I feel is so important is that you're really talking about taking this whole concept of food and re-educating people to the value of the quality of good food and from the heirloom seeds all the way to distribution and then getting it in the hands of people, especially, you know, one of the things, and maybe you could talk about it a little bit, Reverend Sampson, is the communities that just don't have. I mean, I don't know, you know, if everybody is aware that if you walk through some of these urban areas, and I'll give it for instance, in Watts, certain sections of Watts, you can't find good produce at all.
And you can't find, also, sister, there are no shopping centers. I mean, I'm sorry, there are no grocery stores.
Right.
Because the franchises have replaced the grocery stores. One of the things that you might want to ask the brother that's got the bio program, what's happening in white America is the issue of organic. They throw the word organic around. I use the word soul food vegetables. When folk up south go down south for family reunions, they eat the food of our culture, crowder peas, butter beans, purple hulls. One of the problems that's happened, if you watch the news now, the organic movement becomes very, very dangerous from my perspective because they take the manure from the animals, from the cows and et cetera, and they use that as fertilizer for the vegetables, which turns back around and produces the E. coli. So on one hand, now that 25 people died because of the listeria, I think they call it, of the cantaloupe, they have salads that are being removed from the shelf because of the E. coli. 2 years ago, it was spinach. A year ago, it was romaine lettuce. And I kind of smiled because black folk don't really get no access to romaine lettuce, so it was the white folks that was getting all messed up with the romaine lettuce under the organic game that they're running, because under racism, under institutional racism, don't nobody care about the black farmer. What we have done is said that's the food of our ancestors. That's the food that has made us sustainable as Africans in America. And the only thing I'm doing is saying, let's go back to the mason jar. Let me tell you two quick stories. One, when I was a little boy, I used to watch a little black and white television that at 12 o'clock midnight, it would go off with the Star Spangled Banner, Oh Say Can You See, huh? The problem was I used to watch Popeye, and I used to talk to that TV. I was young and dumb and didn't know no better. And I was, Popeye, solve your problem by eating the spinach. Come on, Popeye. And my mama would come to me and say, come on, turn the television on. Popeye don't know you. You come eat your spinach and you be strong, which is what I did and which is now today I am strong. Now, here's the mystery. Popeye never gave olive oil any spinach to solve her problems. Olive oil is just as skinny today as she was 40, 50 years ago. Here's the deep part, sister. Olive oil and Popeye are up in my neighborhood with Popeye's chicken and biscuits and no spinach on the menu, which means somebody don't want us to be strong. And somebody don't want olive oil to be strong. It's a deep signal when you get institutionalized where folk do not want you to have any spinach on the menu. Now let us go to our grandmama. You have brothers always need to know and remember the wisdom of this black woman. She in the kitchen, She fixing collard greens. She give the man a big plate of collard greens. And then she says to him, can I take some home to my children? He says, no, you can't. They're my collard greens. She say, no problem. She didn't have a Paris Hilton pocketbook in that kitchen. She had a big pocketbook, a big book. And in that pocketbook, in that bag, she had three or four jars called the Mason jar. And she would take the juice from that pot and put it in those Mason jars and feed our children or her children off of the nutritional and medicinal value of the juice. The child asked one day, Grandma, what's this juice you keep giving us? She said, it's called pot liquor. Son, my daughter, it's called pot liquor. And it has nutritional and medicinal value. It ain't what's in the greens. It's what comes out of the greens into the juice, which is called pot liquor. Two of the most damaging things that have entered into the black community is pot and liquor, because we strayed away from Grandma's greens. Amen, Reverend.
I hear you. Just to think about it, reminds me of Arsenio Hall when he used to say, thoughts that make you go,
We had a brother in Chicago named Lou Palmer who would say, that's enough to make a Negro turn black.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick pause. We've got to identify ourselves, and we'll play a song in there. And I'm just really excited. I have a list of questions, and when we come back, I'd like to ask you some questions and make sure we identify you know, how we can keep connected, how we can keep our communities connecting. So we'll do the websites again and any other information you think we need to share. So you've been listening to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. My guest, Reverend Dr. Albert Sampson. We're going to turn the show over to our producer, Makua. Welcome. It's good to talk to you today, and I know you've got some information for us.
Absolutely. Welcome to you and to all of our listeners. Reverend Sampson, thank you so much. Your sharing today is wonderful and certainly right on time. So I would like to actually introduce some new music to the Peace Talk show. This is a song I introduced on Sound Synchronicity this past Sunday evening. It's a song called Afro Arrow, and I think in such a timely fashion, it's talking about how quickly things are shifting and that we have to hold on tight to what we know is true. And what I'm hearing from what you're sharing with us, Baba, is there's great wisdom in our elders. There's great wisdom from our legacy, from the continuum of our communities that we want to hold fast to, especially in these challenging and transformative times. So thank you all. Thank you both so much. And to our listeners out there, we thank you for your participation and your attention with Peace Talks every Friday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Without further ado, we'll get into some music. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Visit our website, 13moonwalkforpeace.com. Be informed so that you can join us on 11-11-11 as we walk into Atlanta from the Freedom Park to the King Center, leaving Freedom Park at 10 o'clock in the morning, arriving at the King Center at 11-11 that morning. So come join us. There'll be events that evening at Morehouse College. Can check out all the information on our website. Again, it's 13moonwalkforpeace.com.
Now Time Radio.
Welcome back to Peace Talks on Life on Now Time Radio, and we have our special guest, Reverend Dr. Albert Sampson. We've been talking about FARM, the George Washington Carver Farms Program, founded by Reverend Dr. Albert Sampson, as he is now looking at the role that churches can play in from the seed to the table and the distribution of food throughout America into our communities. Reverend Sampson, I want to start with, how do you envision the churches carrying on such a pivotal role? Is it that will be where people will go to get the produce, or they will be the ones to channel it into the community?
Well, what we're doing historically for the last 33 years, we've gone to churches, asked them to make sure they have computer in the church, and make sure that they had a dining hall with a kitchen. And early in the morning on 6, 7 o'clock on Saturdays, because these are open-air farmer market sites, they would come to my church they would pick the vegetables up. The pricing would be already laid out after they negotiate with the farmer. And then they take the produce back to their local church and establish it either in their dining hall or on their parking lot. We have sites all over the city with local churches on one side, but mega churches. For example, last year what we did, we had Chicago State University. That was a site. We had some brothers that are stopping the violence in the street called Ceasefire. We put that as a site. There's a group of consortium, healthcare consortium, 27 health agencies. We had those places as open-air farmer market sites. And then on Sunday, we would have Bishop Larry Trotter, who has a mega church, the 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 11 o'clock worship service. He allowed us, our farmers, to be out there with their vegetables. So we have our farmers from Illinois as well as our farmers from Arkansas. They were out there in the vestibule outside on the parking lot when people came, and they sold out. The boys from Arkansas sold out along with my farmers from Illinois. And since Arkansas is only about 8 hours from Chicago, they were home by 8, 9, 10 o'clock that night. Now, we did it like that because we don't have a building. Once we get a wholesale retail distribution center, then people can travel individually, you know, in their own cars to the site. But the program can still go on with churches. We have a particular criteria, like I said. Churches have to have a computer. They've got to have a kitchen, because we're going to begin doing what we call soups for the soul. Whenever we got sick, right, Mama used to fix our soup. We done got away from that. We go to the medicine cabinet. We don't go to the soup. So we're looking at soup for the soul. When we were coming up, Mama used to say to us, eat your carrots to help you with your eyes. But we don't have an educational program. We don't have nothing that says, these are the foods you need to eat, one to help you with your eyes, the other one to help you with your heart, the other one to help you with your blood. You know what I'm saying? And right. And what we have to, all that was torn up when we left South and came up South. And so what we have to do now, and what we are doing, is reweave that which was torn when we came up South and didn't make no vows to the brothers and sisters down South.
So if a church is interested in being a part of this, now this is what I want to be clear mm-hmm. on, so that we make sure, you know, sometimes in translations we can, mm-hmm. you know, we can mess things up. So I want to make sure I don't do that. If a church is interested in getting involved with your network, what do you want them to do?
One, they can go to my website, and on the second page, I think it is, of my website, it says what the churches can do, and they can download that. They can
okay.
go to the next page, which says what do the farmers do when you go in the ground, when you come out, what your projected yield will be. How many acres do you have? That's the form that the farmers fill out.
Mm-hmm.
Third thing is that once churches read all of the activities that we would be expecting, for example, it's important for our churches to have an agricultural department, a nutrition department, so that they can be able to have it as an institution, make it a part of their ministry. Just like they got a trustee board and they got a deacon board, they ought to have an agricultural board. They can have some doctors on that board, so that the doctors can help people in the church with the whole issue of obesity or high blood pressure. They should have some food people who know about nutrition, so that they can guide children on peach candy versus artificial candy. So it's a question of recapturing our authority. I take years ago, the Department of Agriculture had the pyramid as the symbol for what shall we eat. Now it's a plate, and so what we do now, we call it food, fixing our own dinner for our own destiny, for our own deliverance. And there are enough people still alive who know what nutrient value food is, and franchises should not be the order of the day for our people to live off of, and because that produces what we call the poverty of spirit.
Yes. So in your church, have you noticed a difference in the eating habits? I mean, have you?
Even in our church, we have voted no pork because I got tired of going back and forth to the hospital praying over a Negro, and then after we resurrect him from the hospital bed, they go back and get another bowl of chitlins. we outlawed, and then they tried to get slick on the preacher, and wanted to smoked turkey, in the green. And I said, look, if you buy an ice cream cone, you want to get the flavor of the strawberry ice cream cone. You don't want to put a piece of hamburger on top of a strawberry ice cream cone. The purpose of these vegetables is to get the nutrition and the medicinal and value of the taste. If you mix it up with dead meat, then you're losing the taste, because each vegetable, God has placed something sweet inside each vegetable. And if you look at the sweet potato, sister, she don't look pretty. What gender you want to call it. But the sweet potato don't look pretty. It got bumps and lumps on it, sprouts hanging all on it, dirty and all that. But inside, she's still sweet because it's called the sweet potato. So,
I know,
so it is
right.
With all of these foods. There are certain nutrients that are necessary. So we throw the challenge out to folk that went through these agricultural schools to go into your local church. If you don't have a church, go to a church and say, look, I went to these black colleges that gave us food programs. If you remember, years ago, they used to have vocational schools where home economics, listen to the word, home economics was in the school. They done knocked that out because they didn't want us to take no economics back home. Because back home, when you did economics back home, you not only shelled the crowd of peas, whereas today you can buy a pea sheller and you can turn back around and have frozen crowd of peas. My boys from Arkansas last year when they came up, they had like an ice cream chest where you traditionally would dip ice cream, something that big as a chest. They put it on the truck and filled it up with crowd of peas. So when my churches came to pick up the vegetables, the brother went right there in that little ice cream chest. And rather than basking 31 different flavors, he went in there and got crowd of peas, which is more of a nutrient value. So that's number one.
Reverend Sampson, we have a caller on the line who has a question.
Sure.
And
sure.
I want to take this time to say welcome, Celeste. And it's been a while, and I got the wrong number out there, but we have fixed it.
Yes,
had my
I saw. Hello. I've been trying to call. I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong, but I want to keep the flow of the conversation going because you two are just doing so beautifully. Audrey, hello. I missed you, sister. And Reverend Sampson, I tend to get visions and flashes when people speak.
Sure.
And when you spoke about the pot liquor, I said, I saw this. Let me just break it down. What sure. I saw was Pearl Bailey, okay?
Mm.
Pearl Bailey from an old movie, doesn't get played a lot now, called The Landlord.
Mm.
And there was this scene where a woman, a white woman of high privilege, was coming to the neighborhood. Her son had just moved into the neighborhood. The conversation about gentrification was just starting. And that movie came out in 1970. I was born that year, okay? But, you know, it was rerun on TV a lot, so I caught it. But this is what got me about how you broke down the pot liquor from the collard greens and the flash that came. The woman ended up having to have dinner with Pearl Bailey's character. And Pearl Bailey dropped down on her some soul food. Now, it's not the soul food that we want to eat now.
We're trying to get people
to stay away from that.
Right.
But
what
she poured, though, was the liquid, the juice from the collard greens.
That's
and this woman said, "Oh, what is this?" And she goes, "Pot liquor." And you know, around that pot liquor, they were able to connect, get down on the floor, and sing with each other. Because there were some other things happening, too, in that scene.
Yes, right.
They were drinking. But that pot liquor made that woman open up.
That's
and when you pulled it together like that, that was the flash that I saw. And so the food that you're talking about isn't just about the nutrients, but there's something about community and connecting and loving each other when we get down to the basics to what it's really supposed to taste like. And I want to thank you for your work.
And here's the thing. And here's the mystery, sister. And coming from an African spirit, you will always, don't ever be ashamed of your flashes or what you call your flashes or how. There's a man named Carl Jung that studied our people in several of the tribes in Africa, and they came up with a word called archetypes, A-R-C-H-E-T-Y-P-S, archetypes, which means we carry our ancestors with us, and that's why we're so deeply spiritual. Dr. Benjamin May's dissertation was on the Negro's God, and what he pointed out was the Roman Greek world, with all of their great thinkers from Socrates to Plato to Aristophanes, you can't get nothing out of the Roman Greek world now. But Africa is still alive and well because of its deep-seated spirituality and not so much about its intellectualism, although both forces are important. But here's the key. For grandma to come up with the word pot liquor and for white folks to bring in our community pot, take a moment, liquor, take a moment, which destroys us. It has destroyed our families. And that's a deep piece. When God revealed that to me, that grandma gave us pot liquor, which brings forth life, and the system brought us pot, take a breath, liquor, which destroys life. So the brothers in the street never graduated from Wharton School of Financing or the British School of Economics, but they're cutting up the drugs, they're shooting each other up, we don't grow it. And we don't manufacture guns. But if the black church would sell life over against death, we could turn our community around. If a brother can be on the corner all day and he's selling death, we could do what Minister Farrakhan did. If Minister Farrakhan can put a bow tie on a brother and he sell a bean pie, the black church ought to be able to sell a sweet potato pie. The nationalists with their dashiki ought to be able to do an apple pie. And the non-church goer ought to be able to do, a lemon meringue pie. You know what I'm saying? Why should the Girl Scouts be hustled, training them to be beggars? Because when they sell the Girl Scout cookies, they don't get no money. The money go right on back up to the Girl Scout corporate board. But what if they sold peanut butter cookies from the spirit of George Washington Carver? then they could tithe into the church. They could tithe into their institution of sophisticated ladies and not create, and sophisticated brothers, and not create a society of beggars. Because when you become a beggar, then you become a hustler. Then you think it's legitimate to steal and to be predatory. But it's because of, we're all saying parkou. The food we eat dictates our behavior. I've been off meat since 1970. Today is the first day of my fast. I mean, we just have lost all of that spiritual dimension of ourselves, and as a result, there are four types of churches. Real quick, let me say this real quick. There are four types of churches. First church is called the entertainment church. Jump up and down with the Holy Ghost on Sunday. People live with Casper the Ghost on Monday. If your God was as awesome as you say he is, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro, there ought to be some transformation on Monday based on your celebration on Sunday. Second church is called the containment church, where all the intelligentsia is locked up in the church. I mean, I don't mind being saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost as a lawyer, as a doctor, but when I get through with that, I need to create a legal defense fund inside the black church. I need to create a holistic health center inside of the black church after I get through with my Holy Ghost time. You know what I'm saying, y'all? The third church is called the Prosperity and Pain. It comes out the Good Samaritan story, where we ride into and ride by the pain of our people, the tragedy of our people, and we ride right on back out to the suburbs. Now, you know, Bowling Brook, ain't no brook, ain't nothing to bowl. Country Club Hills, ain't no country and ain't no hills. And we play with that mythology that we have arrived versus being on the other end of the plantation.
Wow. Whoa.
The other church is what we call the Martin Luther King Church. You see, the Martin King Church said that he took the church out the church into the community. When Martin got through preaching in Birmingham, Alabama, they didn't go home happy, singing "Oh Happy Day." They went out there in the streets and said, "No dog will kill me. No dogs will destroy me." And we transformed, our spiritual power into what they call Satyagraha, which is the word Gandhi used for soul power. And my point is, you can have salvation, but the next step is liberation, because you got information that will help you with your navigation. And what happens with the black church is that it's trapped on salvation. Slaves had salvation. Ain't nothing that an 18, 19 slave had that we don't have in the year 2011. Everybody loved the Lord. Everybody been baptized. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody took communion. You know, everybody did everything that the scripture said 1800 to 2011. But when Dr. King came, he opened up the liberation window that says, you don't need to have nobody call you by your first name. You don't need to act like you're a piece of property. You are the sons and daughters of God. I don't call the brothers and sisters in the street gangs. I call them the sons and daughters of God whose mama is in church. And the preacher ain't come out to church to get the sons and daughters in mama's house and daddy's house to bring them into the church, so that they can get some ethical understanding of what does it mean to be human.
All right, Reverend Sampson, you're preaching now. You are really, really getting deep into our consciousness, and that is so important. Everything you said, I'm going to have to replay this show several times because
here's the other thing. I'll promise you that if we negotiate schedule, I'll be glad to come on once a month or once a week or whatever, you know, my schedule and Brother Ray and you all schedule dictates, because the more our people get back to their roots before they read Alex Haley or after they read Alex Haley, the more we get back to the roots, the more we'll have peace in the valley.
I know that's right. And Reverend Sampson, I'm going to call you up on that, because what you're doing is so important. We got to keep getting the word out about nutrition, health, so that we can be here to be we can sustain ourselves in an environment that often is very damaging. But
that's
we
right.
have to make better choices, and we have to engage. And you just hit it right on the head. That's why we walk, because when
yes.
you walk through a community, you
that's
not
right.
you can't. It's not like you can drive and, you know, put your headphones on, listen to your music, and
right.
you never see it
right.
when you walk. And I want to close on this. I know we're kind of running over time, and I got McCool over there kind of twitching a little bit. So I want to just say, McCool, hang in there 1 second, honey. But I got to tell this story. We were in Lansing, Michigan, in a community that has a lot of violence. And we stayed the night there. We planted a peace pole the next day. And in that ceremony, the young sister, she was in her 20s, said, tearfully, she said, you know, you all came here and you stayed the night, and you planted this peace pole, you listened to us, we talked, and she said, most people won't even drive through our community. And what that said to me is our young people want to be seen. They want to be connected.
That's
and
right.
And we have to stop. We have to walk in our communities. We have to touch each other. We have to look in the eyes of our young people and let them know they're not separate, but instead not only a part of us, but a part of our lineage, our legacy.
That's right.
We need to reclaim our young people. So you've been listening to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. Reverend Sampson, thank you so much. I'm going to be calling on you now, and I'm looking
Great.
Forward to seeing you in Atlanta
okay.
on 11/11 as we walk in, and I have some other things I'm going to give you a call I think we need to talk about, and I'm just really excited about what you're doing, and we will definitely be a place that you can always reach out to the community. Let's build this legacy together.
All right. God bless. Thank you, Brother Ray, and thank you, my beloved sister. Take care.
All right.
Bye now.
Thank you.
No beginning, no end. Tell your mother, tell a friend. Time has come, truth draws nigh. There's a circle in the sky. So simple, really, truly, but we make it so complex. What goes around comes right back around and around and around. No need to ask what comes next. Our thoughts create our reality, and tell me who controls our brains. Cycles and circles, nothing new, still all is changed. Our thoughts create our reality, so we must control our brains. Did you get your fix of propaganda? Your daily dose of conditioning. Do you believe everything you read and see on your TV? If you do, then I pray for you that soon you will get free from the viciousness. nothing's new, still all is changed. If our thoughts create our reality, well, tell me who controls our brains. Oh, cycles and circles, nothing new, still all is changed. Our thoughts create this reality, so we must control our brains. Oh. Tell me, who controls your brain? Who controls your heart? Who controls your life? Who controls your love? Control. The dawn has now revealed the world of fear. Watch it fade away. For only love is real. Nothing's new, still all is changed. Our thoughts create our reality, so we must control our brain. Cycles and circles, nothing new, still all is changed. Our thoughts create this reality, so we must control our brain.